Let's talk a little bit about the Ten Commandments. They had them in the Old Testament, but we also have them in the New Testament. But in the New Covenant, they're brought to a deeper depth of understanding. Jesus came to fulfill the law spiritually within his mind. The New Covenant is not like the natural works of the Old Covenant. The law is written in our minds, as Paul said, with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone. But now it's in fleshy tables of the heart. If we want to be under the New Covenant, we must keep the Ten Commandments spiritually, in the spirit realm, within our minds. So let's go through the Ten Commandments of the Old Covenant and then see what it means in a New Covenant depth of understanding. The first commandment, these can be read, by the way, in Exodus chapter 20. The first commandment given was, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Well, in a New Covenant depth of understanding, it means whatever we give our thoughts or our life to becomes our God. When we give our life to a car, a job, a family, a worthy cause, that becomes our God. Jesus said to only worship, to only give our thoughts and life to the Lord, Jehovah, thy God, and that the true worshipers would worship the Father. Jesus also said that the Father was the only true God, one God, Father of all. We're also told to worship God. To us there is but one God, the Father. No one, no thing, and no idea is to come before God the Father in our mind. The second commandment that was given is, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." God's image is male and female. This pictures his word and spirit. Jesus was in the image of the invisible God because of God's word and spirit that Jesus had within his mind. If we have anything other than God's word and God's spirit within our mind, that is a false image, and we can be worshiping or giving our life and thought to the wrong thing. We are to have God's word engrafted by his spirit in our minds, and we're not to have vain imaginations or thoughts to no profit going on within our minds. The third commandment was, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Well, let's talk about this name a little. We don't receive God's personal name. His personal name is Jehovah. But what we receive into our mind is his family name. And that family name is the name that Jesus brought. He said, "I'm come in my Father's name." But Jesus didn't come in the name Jehovah. He came in the name Jesus. And that shows us that the same way that someone's last name might be Smith or Jones, God's family name is Jesus, like J-E-S-U-S. And we can receive that family name by getting adopted into God's family. We do that by getting his word and spirit in our mind. In vain means to have something for no profit. It's very profitable to receive God's word and spirit, or his family name, and keep it holy and use that to grow, because that will produce eternal life. But if we receive it in vain, that would mean that we had gotten some part of God's word and spirit and not used it to produce eternal life within our mind. What would happen would be we would simply lose that word and spirit because it would have gotten perverted or maybe just not been used. The fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, they had a natural seventh-day Sabbath in the Old Covenant, and it came around every week, whether people labored or not. But we're told to labor to enter into that rest. We can now rest spiritually by laboring or working spiritually within our mind. The spiritual labor that we do is getting God's line upon line, his precepts, his understanding laid within our mind. Jesus said, "Learn of me, and you shall find rest for your souls." We learn until we become complete or perfect, as it says in Ephesians, all the way to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We must keep the Sabbath holy, whatever depth we have grown to, by not allowing it to become perverted. The fifth commandment was, "Honor thy father and thy mother." We are truly to obey our natural parents if they follow God's new covenant commandments. We become spirit realm children of God by honoring or listening to God's word, which is like the father that we spoke of earlier, the male part, and God's Spirit, which is the mother, or like we spoke of earlier, the female part of God. So God has Word and Spirit, which is Father and Mother, to the thoughts that we have within our mind. Then we apply those to our own lives. We are to know and to obey God's Word and Spirit in order to obtain the promise of eternal life. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. We are not to kill, truly, by doing something physical that takes someone's life, but we're also not to kill by thinking or speaking hateful or wrong words. We would never kill anyone physically if we did not first have a murderous thought. We are to do violence to no one, physically or mentally. We're to have the motive of love, and love, as it calls it, charity, in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love thinketh no evil. The seventh commandment was, thou shalt not commit adultery. True, we're not to have sexual relationship with anyone other than our spouse. But in the New Covenant depth of spirit, we're also taught by Jesus that we're not to have lustful thoughts about any person other than our marriage partner. If we have lustful thoughts about another person, we are committing adultery, spirit realm, within our mind. And that causes us to be dead in sin, as it says in Ephesians 2:1, until we cast that out. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. True, we are not to take something that belongs to anyone else in the natural, but we're also not to take anything from anyone, something that belongs to them in the spirit realm. This includes robbing God of His glory by trying to take credit for something that God has given us, or going outside of God's order. God said, my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And a thief, as it tells us in the New Testament, does not get eternal life. So we're not to try to take credit for anything God has given us, or to take credit for something that really belongs to someone else. The ninth commandment was, thou shalt not bear false witness. We are not to tell lies. But if we preach or teach words that God can't witness to, we're bearing false witness. A false witness speaketh lies, it tells us in Proverbs 14:5. Lies will never produce life for the soul. Lies produce death. If we're bearing false witness or telling a lie, we're of the devil, and we will not be in the kingdom of heaven. We're commanded to speak the truth in love. The tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet. That one was spirit realm already, because coveting is something that takes place within the thoughts and the mind. In the New Testament, the New Covenant depth of understanding, we're not to covet anything that belongs to anyone else, but we're also not to covet or desire evil thoughts or feelings. We're not to lust after any evil thing, but we can covet or desire to please God. So not only have the Ten Commandments been brought to a New Covenant depth, but Jesus commands us also to be brought to a New Covenant depth. Now, how did he do that, you might ask? Well, Jesus said, be perfect. How many times have you heard the phrase, nobody's perfect? It's a very common statement. In fact, we're often taught in religion that we can never become perfect in this life. But again, I tell you, Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, be perfect. Who says you can't? Let's look at what the scriptures say about perfection. Who commanded people to be perfect? Like we just said in Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect. Paul said the same thing in 2 Corinthians 13:11, talking to the people of Corinth. He said, be perfect. Well, how perfect? What's the standard of perfection we're to come to? Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, the Father is God Almighty. God's a spirit. So we're to come to a spiritual perfection. Also, Ephesians 4:13 shows that we can all come to a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, what kind of perfection is that? It has to be a spiritual perfection, because as we said in John 4:24, God is a spirit. Well, do we come perfected physically? Where is perfection? Perfection is put on in the mind, as it tells us in Philippians 3:15, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. So true. What the Bible speaks of as perfection, not a physical perfection, it's a spiritual, mental perfection. The Greek words translated to read perfection and perfect show us that perfection refers to being complete, mentally and morally perfect or completed, even while we're walking around in this life. So, you might ask, who was made perfect? Well, Jesus was. We can read Hebrews 2:10 and 5:9 and also Luke 13:32 to find that out. But many people will tell us that only Jesus was made perfect. Well, that is not true. The apostles were made perfect, as it says in John 17:23. Just, meaning righteous, men were made perfect, as it says in Hebrews 12:23, because they were under the new covenant, as it tells us in Hebrews 7 and chapter 10. People of the early church were made perfect. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 says, "We speak wisdom among them that are perfect." And in Colossians 4:12, what Paul says is, "That ye may stand perfect." So, many people have taught that Jesus was the only one that could ever be perfect, and that was not true. Many people also claim that Jesus was born perfect. However, Jesus was made perfect, is in Hebrews 5:9, and that does not mean he was born perfect, because in Luke 13:32, Jesus said, in the future tense, "I shall be perfected." Also, Hebrews 2:10 shows that God would make Christ perfect through sufferings. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect." The process that Jesus went through to be made perfect is the same process we are to go through. We too must suffer a while before we can become perfect. This shows a progressive work that anyone, including Jesus, went through and can go through in order to be made perfect. Even Adam was created good, but he was not spiritually perfected yet. Who taught perfection? Many people in the New Testament. Jesus taught perfection in Matthew 5:48, Luke 8:14 and 6:40, Matthew 19:21. Paul taught perfection in Colossians chapter 1 and 4, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, twice he taught it, in Ephesians 4:13. James taught perfection in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 4, and chapter 3, verse 2. Peter taught perfection, as we already had, 1 Peter 5:10. John taught perfection in 1 John 4:17. The writer of Hebrews, we can read in Hebrews 6:1, taught a doctrine of perfection, not a doctrine of imperfection. Well, are there any tools that can help us be perfect or become perfected in this life? Yes, there are. The voice gifts mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, if we read in verse 8, we see Jesus gave gifts, and verses 11 through 13 show them to be the five voice gifts of the ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and those were given for the perfecting of the saints, until we come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "All scripture is given so that the man of God may be perfect." The blood of the everlasting covenant, the New Testament, show, as we read in Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. Also, Hebrews 10:29 shows the blood of the covenant is the spirit of grace. Romans 6:14 says grace can help us be free from sin. Patience will help perfect us, as it says in James 1:4. Understanding will also help us bring fruit to perfection, as we read in Matthew 13 and Luke 8. Many things can become perfected, such as faith, strength, praise, holiness, love, and understanding. So for those that say you can't be perfect, do you hold Jesus as your example? Where does it say in the Bible that we cannot be perfect in this life?